إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you. We continue tonight a reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi. This is the night we study the fiqh from this book, Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Saleh Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah. We're still in a section of Ahkam Al-Janaiz, the rulings and regulations pertaining to funerals. We stopped at the point when the Shaykh was talking about the cure and the diseases and what is permissible, what is not permissible for us to use as a cure when one is sick. قال ولا يجوز التداوي بمحرم لما في الصحيح عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أنه قال إن الله لم يجعل شفاءكم فيما حرم عليكم. He said, it is not permissible to use that which Allah has made forbidden upon us as a cure, as a medicine. Because of the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, that Imam al-Bukhari collected in his Sahih, that this is a statement of one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who says, Allah did not put the cure in that which He has made forbidden for you. Allah did not make your cure or the cure for you in that which He has made forbidden for you. وروى أبو داود وغيره عن أبي هريرة مرفوعا إن الله أنزل الداء والدواء وجعل لكل داء دواء فتداوى ولا تداوى بحرام. And the Shaykh mentioned this hadith, as collected by Abu Dawood and other than them, from Abu Huraira, that the Prophet ﷺ, that it is said, indeed Allah has sent down the disease and the cure, and has made for every disease a cure. So therefore seek the cure, but do not use that which is haram. However, this hadith is weak, da'if. Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Sunan Abi Dawood, declare this narration to be da'if, weak narration. وفي صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الخمر إنه ليس بدواء ولكنه داء. The Shaykh mentioned a hadith that in صحيح مسلم, hadith number 5112, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, according to khamr, wines and intoxicants, it is not a cure, rather it is a disease. It is not a cure, rather it is disease. Abu Dawood in his Sunan, he mentioned that a man came and asked the Prophet ﷺ about the khamr, about the wine. Qala Tariq ibn Suwayd, aw Suwayd ibn Tariq, سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخمر فنهاه. So this man, he came and asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about using the khamr, the wine, as a cure. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade him from doing so. He asked him again. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade him again. But then the man said to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا نبي الله, O Prophet of Allah, إنها دواء. The khamr is cure. People, they used to use it, jahiliyyah, as a cure. But the Prophet ﷺ said, لا, it is not a cure. لكنها داء, it is a disease. And we know that khamr is haram in Islam, alhamdulillah. There is so many evils of khamr, so many evils of wine, all intoxicants. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وكذلك يحرم التداوي بما يمس العقيدة. Says likewise, it is forbidden to use as a cure anything that opposes the creed. SubhanAllah, aqeedah. Anything that opposes our creed, it's not permissible to use it as a cure, such as تعليق التمائم المشتملة على ألفاظ شركية أو أسماء مجهولة أو طلاسم أو خرز أو خيوط أو قلائد أو حلق تلبس على العضد أو الذراع أو غيره. And the Sheikh mentioned, for example, people hanging tamaim, talismans. Those talismans that contains statements that contain shirk wal'iyadu billah. Some talismans, they contain some names that are not known, written, not in Chinese. They just, those who write it, they're the only one may know what it is, if they know. All this stuff is not permissible. Likewise, it's not permissible to put around their necks or their legs or their arm any bracelets of any kind. Because that's shirk. If they believe that those talismans cure them, that's a shirk wal'iyadu billah. يَعْتَقَدُ فِيهَا الشِّفَاءُ وَدَفْعُ الْعَيْنِ وَالْبَلَاءِ. Because people, they use this. This is, and alhamdulillah, we dealt with these matters in the class of Kitab al-Tawheed. There is chapters. If you remember, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, has chapters, many chapters on this. Talismans and bracelets that the people they hang around, and some they go to some people, they go to some imam in some masjid, ignorant, you know, and superstition, and they write for them stuff and tell them, pull it around your neck, around your chest. All this is haram, this is shirk. And if you remember in that class, however, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan himself, because we were reading from his explanation, he says, but the ulama, they differ as related to using those talismans that contains Quran. And some of the ulama, they said it's permissible if it's only Quran. Some they says it's not. Some they says it's disliked and the like. But here the Shaykh is talking about those talismans and bracelets that the people they have around their necks. As you know, it is from shirk. Now, you know the mushrikeen, they have beads. You see the mushriks, the people who are upon shirk, from Christians and others, or Buddhists, or whatever, atheists, you will find some of them have like 15 to 20 different beads around his neck. They're heavy. I used to work in the airport years ago, in Philadelphia airport, and I have this guy from Colombia. He was a Spanish from South America. And this guy, you know, working in the airport, because we used to, you know, we used to do a ramp agent to park the planes, not to drive them, we just, you know, guide them. And then, you know, service the plane and the like and that. And this guy, man, he's like, I have all these beads around him. And I said, why you have all this, man? He's like, oh no, this is very important, they're from the church. They said, what? And he started telling me, see, this color is for my children, this is for my wife, protect my wife, this protect his car, this protect his house, this protect him when he goes, I don't know where. I said, these things, are you serious? Those things protect you? He says, yeah, they protect me. I said, give me one of them, I'm going to smash it against the wall. He said, no, something bad happened to you. Please make my day. Just give me one of them. I'll show you if it's going to protect itself. Because if it cannot protect itself, how is it going to protect you? He's like, no, I'm afraid for you, man. I don't want you to get hurt. I said, listen, man, I can write something for you right now. Free this, what do you call it, disclaimer or something? I free you, man. Just give me one of them. Show you if that thing is going to protect itself. Still insist like, look, I don't want you to get hurt and this stuff, real work, you don't know what you're talking about. Allah musta'an. This stuff is haram. Why? Because people, whether people they put them as a cure or to repel the eye. Some people, they says, put this and the ayn will never be on you, or nothing bad will happen to you. Wal-iyadu billah. And of course, people, they put them in their cars, because they go to somebody and write something, he says, for my car, so the car never break down and doesn't get stolen. I never heard about that, they never run out of gas. I never heard that one, because maybe those who write that, they smart, they know. It's like, come on, they never run out of gas. Then when the man go for a trip, he's like, you says, it's like, okay. So, it's many things. The people who have animals, they put them around the animals. Many, many, many things. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Why? Because لِمَا فِيهَا مِنْ تَعَلُّقِ الْقَلْبِ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فِي جَلْبِ نَفْعٍ أَوْ دَفْعِ دَرْ وَذَلِكَ كُلُّهُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ أَوْ مِنْ وَسَائِلِ الْمُوصِلَ إِلَيْهِ. Why these things are forbidden? Because it makes the person's heart be attached to them instead to be attached to Allah. Instead to be attached to Allah and ask Allah and turn to Allah and wait for the cure from Allah, because that's, he's the one who cures, not anybody else. Now a person will be attached to that thing around his neck. Okay? And because and this is from the means of, this is shirk, wal-iyadu billah. If they believe that that thing that they are around their necks or whatever the case is, repel harm or bring benefit, then that's shirk. That is shirk. Or it could be from the means that lead to shirk. ومن ذلك أيضا التداوي عند المشعوذين من الكهان والمنجمين والسحرة والمستخدمين والسحرة والمستخدمين للجن. ومن ذلك أيضا أي من التداوي المحرم. ومن ذلك أيضا التداوي عند المشعوذين من الكهان والمنجمين والسحرة والمستخدمين للجن. فعقيدة المسلم أهم عندهم من صحته. Then the Sheikh says, also included in this prohibition that we cannot use this medicine, this what is prohibited as medicine, going to the Kohan. This is also, alhamdulillah, in Kitab al-Tawheed. There is chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed going to the Kohan, the soothsayers and the sorcerers and the munajimeen and the magicians, those who they use the jinn, wal-iyadu billah. Okay, it's not permissible, because the aqidah of the Muslim is better than his health. If a person very sick but is upon the sound aqidah, he's better, way better than one who wants to be healthy and don't care about his aqidah. And there are Muslims, unfortunately, in many Muslim countries still do this. When they get sick or somebody gets sick, their loved ones, instead to do the what is right, the ruqya al-shar'iyya, the legislative ruqya by reading on that person Quran, or take them to the doctor, okay? They take them to a grave, the grave of some person, and then there is some ignorant persons in there. They take care, those who take care of that tomb or whatever. And then, what are you here for? He's sick. You don't know? No. Okay, just get under this green, whatever, sheet or something. And then they put some, whatever they put in there, smoke and stuff. And then they tell him, okay, you have to give money to this person who is dead. Okay, like he's going to do it. That's for those guys who are there. And then they say, then later on they tell them, oh, so-and-so who's in the grave, that wali, he says, look, the only way you can be cured, or your son, or whatever, the case of your father or mother, you have to slaughter a cow. It's a shirk. So many shirk. By going there is shirk. Slaughtering for other than Allah is shirk. Wal-iyadu billah. And then those wicked people who are there, they take that cow that was slaughtered for that, and they have already some butchers who they have no aqidah, and they sell it to them. And then they sell it to the Muslims to eat haram meat. See how it works? Aqidah is very important. Look how the aqidah of the Muslim. Because if the butcher has aqidah, when that person comes to him, he says, look, I got a cow for you. Look, now the cows are $700. Just give me 100. He says, listen, I'm not even get it for free from you, man. That's a haram meat. Salaam Hatullah. Hayyakallah Idris. How are you? Jazakallah. Barakallahu fiik. Naam. فعقيدة المسلم أهم عندهم من صحته. So if we know people that may be doing this or says, look, don't go to the doctor, they take your money, man. I have this person you go to, he's gonna write something for you, you put it around your neck, that's it. So you need to the ma'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. That's not permissible. وقد جعل الله الشفاء في المباحات النافعة للبدن والعقل والدين وعلى رأس ذلك القرآن الكريم والرقية به وبالأدعية المشروعة. نعم. Then the Shaykh حفظه الله, he says, Allah has made the cure in the things that are permissible for us and therefore bring benefits. They have benefits in for the body, for the intellect, and for your religion. Not only they bring benefits, but also for your religion. At the head of all those things is Quran al-Kareem. Quran is a cure, ya akhwan. And Allah says, shifa. That's why our noble scholars from the Shaykh al-Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, and others, rahimahumullah, and other than our noble scholars of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they says, when you read the Quran, read with the intention as a cure, to cure yourself. Don't just read. Read with the intention to cure yourself from everything. Na'am. Because Quran is shifa, is a cure. So whenever you are about to read, keep that in your mind. That you're reading it, so alhamdulillah, that Allah cure you. Because we don't know. We don't know what's wrong with us. Until we go to a doctor and says, where you been, man? Where you been? What are you saying? Look, there's something been going on, you know, for years it looks like, you know. But you read the Quran, ya akhwan. Read the Quran with this pure intention. And also the ruqya. English incantation, the incantation, and of course the ruqya, there is that which is legislated, that which is haram. Okay, so we have to learn, that's another chapter, and we have learned that in Kitab al-Tawheed, alhamdulillah, as well. There is a ruqya shara'iyya, there is the legislated ruqya, alhamdulillah, but there is the other ruqya that the sorcerers and ignorance and mushriks, they use, that's haram, we should stay away from it. And also ad'iyya, that is legislated. Supplications that we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ when a person is sick. So we shouldn't always run to those pills. Now we have to use the, even though as the Shaykh has mentioned, it is, he's going to mention now, it's permissible to go to the doctor, it's permissible to use those pills, you know, if prescribed by a doctor, not just everybody go get the pill. Those are chemicals. Those pills, they're like chemistry, man. They're like chemicals mixed together. So the doctor, the pharmacist, they know. They study this thing. They know what you can, this chemical can mix with this. These two chemicals cannot be taken at the same time. That's why when the doctor, he will ask question, are you taking any medication right now? Yes, this and this. That's, I couldn't give you this. Why? Because they don't go together. Okay? And then they tell you, don't take this. That's why sometimes people, they says, look, I'm taking the medicine, I'm getting worse. Because you're mixing up things. You're just taking this medicine. You cannot, for example, I just tell you, for example, you cannot take those NSAIDs, they call them, right? NSAIDs. You can't take them together. Like, for example, Claritin D. You cannot take that in the same time with Advil. You just can't. You get sick. You can take acetaminophen with those things. You don't take ibuprofen products with Claritin D. Okay? Allahu a'lam. That's why, as an example, I'm not a pharmacist, I'm not a doctor. So go check this information that I just said, okay? Barakallahu feekum. I free myself from that. But that was just as an example. So, but we have, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh, he says, he mentioned the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. قال ومن أعظم العلاج. Subhanallah, listen to this statement, ya akhwan. From this great Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. He says, ومن أعظم العلاج. From the greatest cure. The greatest way. فعل الخير. Doing good. Subhanallah. فعل الخير. Doing good. That's علاج. Protection. والإحسان doing good to others, being nice and kind, of course, first to your parents, to your wife, the wife to her husband, to your children, to your neighbor, to your elders, to this, to that. وَالذِّكْرُ وَالدُّعَاءُ And dhikr, that's a cure. That's the greatest form of seeking the cure through these things, these means. الذِّكْرُ وَالدُّعَاءُ Remembrance of Allah. Dua وَالتَّدَرُّعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ And not only making dua, but being serious about it. Humble yourself. Ask Allah. Turn to Allah, not only with your hands up in the air and your tongue moving, but your heart has to be present to that. You have to turn to Allah with your heart. And a tawbah. Tawbah from ma'asi. Na'am. Seeking or repenting. Na'am. Repenting from sins and disobedience. قال وتأثيره أعظم من الأدوية. Ibn al-Qayyim says, these things that he mentioned has a greater impact on you than medicine. Than medicine. لكن بحسب استعداد النفس وقبولها. But it may not work in the same way for certain people. It depends on the soul. Some people, they know, they believe in this Quran is a cure. Whenever they sick, they go read Fatiha. قُلْ عَذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ عَذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ Alhamdulillah, they're okay. Some people, it is told to them, and they're like, are you sure? They're not even sure. Are you sure it's going to work? Okay, me, that's it. I don't have to take nothing, just Fatiha. All right, I'm going to try it just because he said so. And he go try it just because he said so. His heart, his soul is not even ready for it. And he recites Al-Fatiha and nothing happens. He's like, I told you, it don't work. That's a bad statement. But a person should believe. That's why the Aqidah is very important. Everything is around the creed, man. Because if you know the Aqidah, you know that the Quran is a cure. That's it. But see, he said it works if the soul is ready for it and is prepared for it. قال ولا بأس بالتداوي بالأدوية المباحة على أيدي الأطباء العارفين بتشخيص الأمراض وعلاجها في المستشفيات وغيرها. With this, the Sheikh said, yes, but it's still permissible to take the medicine, those permissible medicine. If there are medicine that are permissible, that are being prescribed by known doctors, not anyone, by known doctors, after knowing the disease itself and the illness, because the doctor don't just give you anything. They do a lot of things. They bring you in. They take your, your everything, even your weight. They test your blood pressure. Many things. That sometimes they even take blood and send it for blood tests. Some in some cases they take scan and many things. They ask so many questions. What do you do? Do that the person smoke? That the person, what's his job? How old is the person? Anybody in the family has this issue? What they eat? What this? Many things. So those things enable the doctor to know what's wrong first. Because if they don't know what's wrong with the person exactly, they're not going to be able to give them the right medicine for that. Okay? And that's why sometimes when a doctor makes a mistake and they thought maybe is this, that's why it doesn't work. That's why, because now you know insurance, or we know insurance is haram, but now this is a big, big thing. Insurance now taking over the doctors and the hospitals. They have a lot of disclaimers and things to protect themselves against lawsuits. So if you really read the paper when they release you from the hospital, you read that paper and you will see. Usually they say, they don't tell you this is what's wrong with you. They don't. They said this is what they think is based on what it could be something else to free themselves. You know? Just in case if it's something else, they said, well, we told you, man. Well, that's what we thought is, you know. Something else, Allahu A'lam. Anyway, the Shaykh says it's permissible to seek the cure by going to doctors, to hospitals, but you go to those who are known to know what they're doing, and if they prescribe medicine that is permissible, then inshaAllah ta'ala, it's permissible to take that. It's permissible. But we as Muslims, alhamdulillah, it's very important for us to use ruqya, make ad'iyah, supplications, to remember Allah, to read the Quran, and the like. قال الشيخ وتسن عيادة المرضى لما في الصحيحين وغيرهما. Also another point, he says that it is recommended, it is from the sunnah to visit the sick, the Muslims who are not sick, to visit the sick, or maybe they sick too and they can visit the sick. It's permissible to visit the person who is sick because of this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and other than them, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said خَمْسٌ تَجِبُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى أَخِيهِ وَذَكَرَ مِنْهَا عِيَادُ الْمَرِيدِ. Every Muslim have 5 rights upon his Muslims, brothers. And one of them is to visit him when he is sick. He has 5 rights to visit the Muslim when he's sick. فَإِذَا زَارَهُ سَأَلَ عَنْ حَالِهِ فَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْنُو مِنَ الْمَرِيدِ وَيَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ حَالِهِ. Now this is the Shaykh has begun to say now the etiquette of visiting the sick. Now there is an etiquette that we Ahlu Sunnah, we have to adorn ourselves with, not just go there and come back. Now there is certain etiquette, alhamdulillah, for us to observe while during this visitation. Number one, to ask how the person is doing. Of course, if the person is able, some people they be in a coma and the like, they cannot talk. Person can't talk, they have their conscience, he asks them nicely, how you doing today and this. فَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْنُو مِنَ الْمَرِيدِ وَيَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ حَالِهِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to get closer, not from, I don't know, from the door. How you doing? And raising a voice, and there is other people that are sick. No. Don't talk loud in there, and we behave in a nice way, because we're in a hospital. People are sick, people are sleeping, people are getting rest. So he said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to get closer to the sick person and ask how that person is doing. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وتكون الزيارة يوما بعد يوم أو بعد يومين ما لم يكن المريض يرغب الزيارة كل يوم. He says this visitation, visiting the sick, will be every other day, or maybe every other 2 days. You go today and go the next day, or after 2 or 3 days from that, unless if the sick person requests from a person to come and see him every day. But the etiquette is that if you go today, you don't go tomorrow, the day after that, or 2 days after that. But if the sick person himself says, look, can you please come? Sometimes the sick people, they may feel comfortable with other people. They like certain people, and they want to see them every day. He said, then it's okay, inshallah. وَلَا يُطَيْلُ الْجُلُوسَ عِنْدَهُ. Another etiquette, you don't spend a lot of time with the sick person. You go, ask, as the Shaykh is going to mention, make dua for them, inshallah, and then you leave. You excuse yourself. He says, إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْمَرِيدُ يَرْغَبُ ذَلِكَ. Once again, unless if the sick person requested for a certain person or persons to remain with him for a longer time. But if the sick person does not request that, then we go visit, make dua, salam alaikum akhi, my oldest. ويقول للمريض, what do you say to the person? You say لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. It's very easy. We memorize لا بأس عليك. There is no harm on you. طهور inshallah is purification for you inshallah. لا بأس عليك طهور inshallah. As is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ used to say this on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. تقول لا بأس عليك طهور inshallah. ويدخل عليه السرور. Likewise, while you're there, try your best to bring joy to that person. Bring joy. It doesn't mean cracking jokes. Alright? No, bring joy. MashaAllah. He's a Muslim upon the Sunnah, upon the Aqeedah. Read him some chapters. If you know that that person who's sick may be at home, or that person is in the hospital, but he used to attend the masjid all the time, you go and tell him, "Akhi, we miss you." The brother, they ask about you, and a couple of them that couldn't come, but they miss you. He miss me. He's happy. Or you know the brother's always in a class of fiqh, for example, and the classes. Now he's sick, and you go visit him, and you take your notes. Say, "Alhamdulillah, today we took these notes. Are you willing to hear?" If you are, he says, yes, I'm willing to hear. "Alhamdulillah." Say, "Yeah, we took these notes, mashallah. I prepare one for you here, mashallah. Or here is a CD if it's recorded." Alhamdulillah. And then you know that person, he loves knowledge. Okay? Or you know that brother's, the doctor, they said, "Look, you're going to be here 2-3 months. And his job, now his family, now we go and say, "Look, we already going to take care of you, alhamdulillah. Now my wife, she's going to take your wife whenever she want to go, doctor appointments, don't worry about that, akhi. Alhamdulillah, you give him an envelope, here is this humble donations from the community. We know, alhamdulillah." See, and you leave the brother, open the envelope, find a nice amount of money that he can help pay the rent, because now he's in the hospital, you know. Okay? And this bring from the things that bring soror, bring joy. Because now he's sick and worry about what I'm going to do, the rent, the bills, the kids, who's going to take them to school, are my kids going to go to the boys, what they doing, who's going to bring them to Jumu'ah. He says, "No, if you don't mind, I will bring them to Jumu'ah with me." Especially if you're the neighbor of that brother, or he live in your way, tell him, "I don't mind, akhi, too. If you want, I can bring your children to the masjid, bring them to Duksi, to the Quran, Tahfid. Don't worry about it. I will do that." And that's the real cure, ya akhwan. Okay? وَيَدْعُوا لَهُ بِالشِّفَاءِ وَيَرْقِيهِ بِالْقُرْآنِ لَا سِيَمَا سُورَةَ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَالْمُعَوِّذَتَيْنِ. And you make dua that Allah cure this person. And you do the ruqya for him. You know, by reciting Fatiha upon this person. You recite al-Fatiha upon this person, and you recite in his presence, and you recite, especially Fatiha. You can recite anything of the Quran, but especially the Shaykh said Surah al-Fatiha, and Surah al-Ikhlas, and Qul A'udhu wa Rabbil Falaq, and Qul A'udhu wa Rabbil Nas. And most definitely, we people of Sunnah, alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the Sunnah. But we're not going to go there and start talking about, "Oh, you missed a big game, man. The game was nice last night. Ah, subhanAllah, I wish you were with us." No, we don't do these things. Don't talk to him about games. Tell him about the what he missed. He missed a game. Now tell him, "MashaAllah, here is what you missed from the class. We bring it to you, alhamdulillah. Listen to it. Or here is the notes. Or when you, inshaAllah. Aina am hakada barakallahu feekum. ويسن للمريض أن يوصي بشيء من ماله في أعمال الخير ويجب أن يوصي بماله وما عليه من الديون وما عنده من الودائع والأمانات وهذا مطلوب حتى من الإنسان الصحيح. Likewise, a person who is sick, also from the etiquette, is that person should have his will ready and put in there, like if he has money, like, "Look, if something happened, this is give some of this to this orphan, to this widow, to here." And a'mal al-khayr. Likewise, if he has any debts that other people don't know, it's not written, he writes, I owe this person. Or if he was entrusted with anything from other people, he will write it down, "I'm entrusted with such and such for this person and this and that." This is recommended from everybody to do this, not just the sick person. Because the Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, مَا حَقُّ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ لَهُ شَيْءٌ يُوصِي بِهِ يَبِيتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ إِلَّا وَصِيَتُهُ مَكْتُوبَةٍ عِنْدَهُ. For a better translation, that it is upon the Muslim to have his will ready. Not, and in that wasiyah has to be it shouldn't go 2 nights without having that will ready, in which he writes as the Sheikh he mentioned, if there's any debts on him, if he owe anybody or anybody owe him anything, if he has entrusted with anything that has to be given, just in case, because a person is sick now. They may die from their illness. So that the people they will know, so the rights of other people will not go in vain. Now the people will come and say, look, oh, your father died, but he owed me $3,000. So you have something? Well, no, I trusted your father, man. MashaAllah, he's a good man. Okay, but if the will, the father too says, look, yes, I owe such so-and-so $3,000. So alhamdulillah, they see it over there. And when it comes to the will is done more often. Okay, so a person here writes many wills. And they go with the last one in dates. Like for example, someone is writing so many wills, 10 of them. One in 2010, three of them in there, or maybe 10 of them in 2011, who knows. When they find all those, they go with the last one. Because in that last one, he writes what he still have. Because sometimes people, they already paid debts, alhamdulillah, and they do this, so a change of that. So that's what they go with the date, the most recent date. وذكر الليلتين تأكيد لا تحديد فلا ينبغي أن يمضى عليه زمان وإن كان قليلا إلا وصيته مكتوبة عنده لأنه لا يدري متى يدركه الموت. He said, here in this hadith is mentioned two nights, but this is not, it has to be two nights. It could be more or less, but what's important that a person should have this will, which he writes in it the things that the Shaykh mentioned, because that person don't know when death may come upon them. On the way death may come upon them. ويحسن المريض ظنه بالله فإن الله عز وجل يقول أنا عند ظن عبدي بي ويتأكد ذلك عند إحساسه بلقاء الله. Another etiquette from the etiquettes of the sick that the person who is sick he should think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith, I am as my servants think of me. I am as my servant think of me. And this hadith is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So a person should at that moment think good about Allah, that Allah, alhamdulillah, is al-Rahman, al-Rahim, al-Ghafoor. Especially if a person is very sick, he won't be thinking like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to my children behind me, they're going to be lost, nobody's going to be there for them. What do you mean nobody's going to be for them? Who's been there for you, brother, all these years? Huh? You've been there for yourself? No, you think good of Allah. You say, Allah, at the moment you make dua, Ya Rabbi, O Allah, you know if I'm going to make it out of this one or not. O Allah, take care of my children, my family, this, that. Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Especially if the person feels like, subhanAllah, he's very sick, and of course people will be thinking at that moment, I'm going to make it or not, Allahu A'lam. So at that moment people, they think good about Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُسَنُّ لِمَنْ يَحْضُرُهُ تَطْمِيعُهُ فِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَيُغَلِّبُ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالَ جَانِبَ الرَّجَاءَ عَلَى جَانِبِ الْخَوْفِ. Likewise, this is what the sick person do, think good about Allah, okay? And also those who are in his presence, they incite him to search and ask for the mercy of Allah. And if you're around a sick person, you mention a lot the ayat and the ahadith of raja, of hope. Okay? You mention a lot of ayat of hope. Not the ayats of punishments. وَأَمَّا فِي حَالَةِ الصِّحَّةِ فَيَكُونُ خَوْفُهُ رَجَاءُ مُتْسَوِيَيْنَ. But when a person is healthy, he has to have balance. Hope, he worships Allah based on hope and fear. And Ibn al-Qayyim, رحمه الله, mentioned a beautiful statement, if I'm not mistaken. He says that raja and khawf, hope and fear, for the person's iman, is like the two wings of a bird. The bird stays high from all trouble and this, if both wings function. If one of them, then he has to go down. So likewise, the iman of a person stay high, alhamdulillah, and a person will benefit from it as long as we understand this matter. We worship Allah based on both hope and fear. قال لماذا لأنه من غلب عليه الخوف أوقع في نوع من اليأس. Because if a person tends toward fear, constantly thinking about fear, now that thing may lead him to give up hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to despair from the mercy of Allah. وكذلك من غلب عليه الرجاء أوقعه في نوع من الأمن المكر الله. Likewise, if a person doesn't even mention the عذاب of Allah, he don't remember death, don't remember the hellfire, don't remember what Allah how Allah has punished the other people. He's all, Allah ghafur rahim ya akhi, Allah mashallah, the Jannah is vast, Allahu Akbar, Allah ghafur. This person, he's gonna like be free and do whatever he wants to do and don't pay no attention to the consequences, because that person is not thinking about the punishments. But the Muslim should combine these two. Worship Allah based on hope, of course, hoping for what Allah has prepared for the good doers. But in the same time, you have to know that Allah punished the evil doers. Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, look, the Khawarij, they nothing but fear. And the Murji'ah, they says, look, whatever you do, you say La ilaha illallah, that's all you need. Pray, don't pray, smoke, cigarettes, steal, doesn't matter, music, fornication, they're like, it's okay. The Murji'ah. It's a deviant group, no doubt. And they have the same ideology as the Christians, as long as you have Jesus in your heart. See, the Christian, they says to their people, if you have Jesus, that's all you need, bro. Go by your life, do whatever you want to do. You the man. Nobody has to tell you anything. You're a free man. But on Sunday, come and drop something. You see, on Sunday, you got to come and see the priest and tell him your problems. So he record them for you or against you. And then you're going to put whatever that person agreed to give the church every Sunday. And they tell him, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. No, it doesn't work like that. Islam tells us to do what is good for us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need for us. If we all are good and righteous, that doesn't benefit Allah anything. But it's only for ourselves. And also, if everybody is wicked and doing nothing but chaos and trouble, that doesn't affect the kingdom of Allah in anything. Now that's affect Walmart. Can you imagine if Walmart have 300 employees, big Walmart, they all come on time, they all do their job right. Walmart's gonna make some good money. Everybody paying attention. Nobody dropping anything. Nobody missing up anything. They know what they're doing. Good service. People coming and leaving in no time. Walmart benefiting big time. But can you imagine if all of the workers go there and everybody breaking something, Walmart will shut down. You gotta be affected. Subhanallah. But Allah is al-Ghani. If everybody is righteous, that doesn't benefit Allah in anything. In anything. And if everybody is wicked, doesn't harm Allah in anything. So it's only for us, barakallahu fikum, to remember these things. قال فإذا احتضر المريض فإنه يسن لمن حضره أن يلقنه لا إله إلا الله. We continue this after the adhan. The time of adhan 42. نعم. Now, the Shaykh says for if a person is really facing death now, the signs of death, person is upon the agony of death, sins upon that person, he says it is recommended for people around him to ask him to say La ilaha illallah. Because the Prophet says, Laqinu mawtakum La ilaha illallah, Rawahu Muslim. The people who are around him or her, they prompt them to say La ilaha illallah. at that moment. Not wait until they die like the Mubtadi'ah. Until when a person dies, they say, La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha. Because they don't understand the hadith right. This word Arabic, Mawtakum, literally it means that those who don't understand, they mean like those who are dead. But now what it means, those who are dying. They're still alive. But they look like they're dying. Allah knows if they're going to die or not. But they look like they're dying, they're facing death, they're very weak and the like. Then you say to them, to say La ilaha illallah. Ask them to say La ilaha illallah. To say La ilaha illallah. Why? Because for that, inshallah, that's only for Allah. So that person, inshallah, die upon the statement of ikhlas. So it may be the last thing that person, he or she say. Because it came in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is in Sahih Abu Dawood, that man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever last statement was la ilaha illallah will enter al-jannah. Of course, tawfiq is from Allah. Allah grants tawfiq to whom, may Allah make our khitam, our endings, the best one. And the Shaykh also, he says, those who are saying to the person to say La ilaha illallah at that moment, they have to be gentle, nicely, kindly. And they shouldn't also say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. They have to say it and remind him once a while, nicely, kindly, so that he don't get bored. Especially if the person is a layman, not a person who really know the importance of this. This, you be nice and be kind to them, inshallah ta'ala. قال ويسن أن يوجه إلى القبلة. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Fawzani mentioned, also is recommended, or from the Sunnah, it's okay to face that person at that moment, the Qibla. However, Shaykh Al-Albani, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he said, there is no sound narration that says at that moment the person who's dying to face his, to change his position towards the Qibla. Shaykh Al-Albani says, لم يصح فيه حديث. Then the Shaykh says, وَيَقْرَأُ عِنْدَهُ سُورَةِ يَسِينَ لِقَوْلِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم اِقْرَأُوا يَسِينَ عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ رواه أبو داود بن ماجة صحابة بن حبان. Also, Shaykh Fawzani says, and that person who's dying, he says to recite Surah Yasin at that moment. Person didn't die yet. And he mentioned the hadith. Read Surah Yasin upon those who are dying. And he says it's collected by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. And Ibn Hibban declared it to be sahih. However, this hadith is da'if. Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala mentioned that this hadith is da'if, weak in both Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan Ibn Majah. I'm going to read to you some of the statements of the ulama as related to this hadith, because some of the ulama, they say it is sahih, but many and others they say is weak. Perhaps Shaykh Fawzan Hawa ta'ala is on the opinion of those ulama who they see this hadith to be sahih. Anyway, Shaykh Fawzani said, but as for the one who already dead, you don't recite anything on him. Okay? The one who, alayhi salam, the one, if somebody died already, then you don't recite any Quran. Because reciting on a person after their death is a bid'ah. This is something that's done a lot by ignorant people in many places. They even delay the body, the washing and the shrouding and the burial. They even delay that until what? Until somebody gonna come and recite Quran on that person. But reciting the Quran on the death after the on the dead person is a bid'ah, is an innovation. So likewise, he says, reciting the Quran after the death of a person, or at their grave, or l'ruh al-mayyit, or the like, all this from the bid'ah, from innovations. You don't go and recite Quran at the site, at the grave site. All this from innovations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal. And what is incumbent upon a person is to act upon the sunnah. The Muslim should act upon the sunnah and should leave off innovations. Even if those innovations are famous, are done, By sometimes people, laymen, they like, this is innovation. The Imam of the Masjid is doing it, man. You know better than the Imam. Yes, that Imam, he's ignorant in this one. Yes, he memorized Quran, but he's ignorant. He don't know the Sunnah. You need to learn the Sunnah. Okay? I'm going to read to you some of the statements that are related to reciting Surah Yasin at the time where the person is dying. Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his book Ahkam al-Janaiz, the ruling regulations for funerals. He says, as for reciting, I'm just going to recite, translate because we don't have a lot of time. He says, as for reciting Surah Yasin, at the time when a person is dying and facing the agony of death, and facing that person's facing him towards the Qibla, there is no sahih narration pertaining to this. There is no narration that is sahih. Shaykh ibn Baz, one of the great scholars, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was asked, is reciting Surah Yasin for a person at the moment of their death permissible? The Shaykh says, reciting Surah Yasin at this time, meaning when a person is dying, they're still alive. He says, he came in a hadith of Ma'qil ibn Yasar, that the Prophet ﷺ said, recite upon those people who are dying Surah Yasin. He says, some of the people of knowledge, they say it is sahih. They thought that its isnad is good, and it is from the narration and the routing of Abi Uthman al-Nahdi from Ma'qil ibn Yasar. But other scholars, they said this hadith is weak. This hadith is weak. And they say that the narrator, it is not Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, but an unknown, majhul, someone who is unknown, they don't know who he is. So he said, what is known is that this hadith, he says, is da'if, because this Abi Uthman is not known. They don't know who he is. So therefore, it is not to be recited upon those people who are dying. He said, for those ulama, when you find that they say it is recommended to be recited at this time, they thought that the hadith is sahih. That's why they based their ruling on them thinking that the hadith is sound. However, the Shaykh ibn Baz says, however, but reciting Quran at that moment to the person who's dying is a good thing. And may Allah benefit that person with it. As for specifying Surah Yasin, he says, what we know is the hadith is weak. But you can recite another thing. But to specify Surah Yasin, he says the hadith is weak, and therefore specifying reciting Surah Yasin at that moment, there is no sound proof to support it. Shaykh and that was from the fatwa of Shaykh ibn Baz. As for the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he was asked also, is reciting Surah Yasin at the time when the person is dying establishing a sunnah or not? It is from the sunnah or not? His answer was, rahimahullah, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he says, as for reciting Surah Yasin for the person who is dying, it is sunnah with many of the ulama, because of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that they use this hadith, recite Surah Yasin for those who are dying. But then the Shaykh, he says, but this hadith, some of the people of knowledge, they talk about it and they say that it's weak. So therefore, for those who look at this hadith to be sound, they're the one that they say it is from the sunnah to recite Surah Yasin at that time, at that moment. But for those who they say the hadith is weak, they're the one that they say it is not from the sunnah. And also Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, on another place in his Fatawa ibn Uthaymeen, volume 17, page 74, he says, this hadith is weak. When he was asked then, he says, this hadith is weak. Iqra'u ala mawtakum yasin. Recite Surah Yasin upon those people who are dying. He says, the hadith is da'if. He has weakness in it. He said, however, supposedly the hadith is sound, then while he's dying, they can recite Surah Yasin. And he said that the people of Nahl, he says, because of Surah Yasin contains some ayat that may ease up upon that person at that time. قال إذا صح هذا الحديث. So if the hadith is sound, then yes, you can recite Surah Yasin at that time when a person is still alive and they dying. But as to recite it on the grave, as many people they do, then he says there is no asal, there is no base to it. Okay? So this is what we are going to stop here tonight. Alhamdulillah, we covered the many points, Alhamdulillah, we read to you what the Sheikh covered, actually. I ain't covered anything. I'm just reading for you, Alhamdulillah. That the Sheikh covered many points, Alhamdulillah, as related to the etiquettes of visiting the sick, what to say. We learned the dua to say, لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. And how long we supposed to visit the sick, how long we stay, if we can stay, what we should do in his presence and the like. Likewise, what is the etiquette that the sick person should do and keep in mind at that moment, from the will and the like, and that the sick person should think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that those people who are around the sick person should remind him of the mercy of Allah, that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafur. But if a person is really, really sick, and they see that this person facing the agony of death, they prompt that person to say La ilaha illallah, and because of the importance of this great statement of Ikhlas. And also, we read to you what the Shaykh said and what other noble scholars like Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh ibn Baz, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahumullah, these are from the great imams of this time, rahimahumullah. And wallahi, we miss them a lot. And look at a lot of chaos is happening in the Muslim land, subhanAllah, after them, subhanAllah. And Rasulullah s.a.w. said, when the ulama, they leave jahl, subhanAllah. Jahl. Even the people of innovation, we open a window here, even those innovators that now, many of them, they are out there, like Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'ribi, and many, many of them, Ali Hassan, Halabi, and many other than them, who right now, they, subhanAllah, causing lara, chaos and fitan and trials, and lot of deceiving the Muslims. And these are people they used to call to the Minhaj al-Salafi in the life of this ulama. And the life of Sheikh Muqbil as well. Because this great scholar, they all died within 2 years. Within 2 years, between 99 and 2001. They died, rahimahumullah. Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh al-Albani, Uthaymeen, Muqbil. After their death, a lot of people who used to call Salafi, now they out, calling to Hizbiyah, supporting Ahlul Bid'ah. Wallahi, we miss them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve those who are still alive among our noble scholars. May Allah preserve them, the like of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Wal-Mufti, Wal-Luhaydan, Wal-Shaykh Rabi' wa Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, and Shaykh Ubaid, and others amongst our noble Shaykh Zayd Al-Madkhali, and others. From Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the great scholars. May Allah preserve them. Amen. And protect them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their students strong, so they can take their places insha'Allah. May Allah make them strong students upon the Sunnah and stern upon the people of innovation. Insha'Allah ta'ala, next class we will go with the second paragraph that the Shaykh deal with is Ahkam al-Wafat. Because in this first paragraph, he talks about the rulings of the al-Marid wal-Muhtadir, the sick person and the one who's dying, facing the agony of death. Inshallah, in the next class, we're going to learn Ahkam al-Wafat, rulings, regulation of when a person die, what to be done, what we need to know, inshallah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.